This episode of the Justin Robert Young Podcast is brought to you by everybody who supports the program over at patreon.com/JURY. We had our best month ever. The best month we could ever even dream about in November. Thank you guys so much for supporting me as I need it the most. I just quit my job and you guys responded in such a major way. If you would like to kick in a little bit, head on over to patreon.com/JURY. It supports not only this show, but also my politics podcast called Politics, Politics, Politics that you also get for free when you sign up. I mean, it's free anyway, but think of it as a bonus. Patreon.com/JURY. And The Contender, the new card game that I came up with along with John Teasdale and Guts and Glory that is now, by the time you hear this, it is highly likely that they have arrived in shipping facilities around the country. You will be able to order this and get it in your hands as soon as you, within the week, if you order it on Kickstarter, you order it on the website, you're going to be able to get it very, very soon, certainly before Christmas. Just head on over to thecontender.us. Again, that is thecontender.us. Show much longer, so I'm just going to go ahead and get into it. Of course, the legendary, the incomparable Jomo and the boys, the Possum Posse, providing our amazing opening song. I'm hearing rumors of that new. I'm so excited. They're like my favorite band ever. Let's go ahead and get into this thing. Hello, everybody. Hey, what's up? Hello. This is the Justin Robert Young Podcast. My name is Justin Robert Young. Well, you might know me from other podcasts that you've listened to named Jury. Yeah, I'm that guy. I'm the guy from those shows. Hello. Man, we got a real humdinger. We got a real barn burner. Because I had everything that I wanted to do for the show, but I was looking for one last topic. I wanted one last thing, really bring everything together. You know, something I could kind of riff on for a little bit. And every once in a while, the Lord provides like pennies from heaven, like just falling from the sky. We get amazing content. And I got an audio clip from somebody who is down here in the chat room right now that is so cringeworthy. So amazingly embarrassing, colossally embarrassing to me. for a million different reasons that I will go into as we play it. I mentioned before that as part of my duties as the host and lead personality and lead writer and editor of the itricks.com blog, we did podcasts for a lot. All right, listen, I'm already putting my guard up. Okay? Yeah, I'm going. I'm laying with my belly up, my exposed pink belly up, and I will be sensitive. I hosted a Criss Angel fan podcast. What you are going to hear is a clip of me reading emails from either teenage girls, many of which were teenage girls, many of which were older women who were just really into Criss Angel. But by and large, it was teenage girls. And my voice, it's so embarrassing. My voice sounds terrible. I have no idea why I was doing this and anybody supported me. That it's like, oh no, please. You should pursue a career in audio. Like, because the voice, I don't know. Maybe this is just how I sound all the time. Okay. We'll get to it. We will begin with something a little bit more serious. Because again, this is the Justin Robert Young Show is nothing if not extraordinarily silly and extraordinarily serious and nothing in between. No gray area. We don't like to downshift. We like to go from meh to meh, and that's it. Ask anybody who's driven in the car with me. That there are only two settings that I have when I am in the car, and it is either the heat all the way up or the AC all the way down. Those are the only two settings that I have. I never put that dial in the middle. Why? Because I am a man of extremes, and we begin with a very heavy topic. Tragedy this week in San Bernardino. This was a shooting, several dead, and tremendous implications to it. The president was on television this evening, not but a few minutes ago, discussing the implications of it. I have not heard his speech. I do not know the latest on the news of the shooting. I will leave that to other people to do a better job of, but apparently not MSNBC or CNN, who this week decided to walk into a fresh crime scene and dox people that are connected to the two people who shot up that facility by showing their social security numbers and driver's licenses. This is a tremendous, gross misconduct of journalism, and it should be no surprise to anybody. If you think that television news is journalism, you know, listen, everybody was up in arms about this stuff this week. I don't know why. If you think that television news is journalism, that is your fault. Like, that ain't their fault. They have been like this forever. And they ain't going to be any different now that they're declining in influence and ratings. I'm going to let you know that. But let's go ahead and get to what I want to talk about, because this is something that I feel like is within my control, or at least within my purview, to point out whether or not... Let me just start with this. I'm a huge, huge, huge proponent of social media and its ability to connect us to each other. We had this conversation on the morning stream on Tuesday, where apparently This American Life had something about how teenage girls drew so much of their personal self-worth through Instagram likes, and they could chart through like surveys plus the research that they had into their publicly available profiles, that they felt better on days where people liked them more and gave them compliments, and then they had felt worse on days that they did not get that. This, again, not surprisingly, became a topic of hand-wringing, and the tone of that piece, although I have not heard it, was apparently one of, oh my God, this is driving an already difficult time in people's lives to be even harder, to be even more complicated, that social media exacerbates the problem. Now, I'm not here to say that social media is necessarily the end-all, be-all. I am not here to say that it is always a force for good. I think many times it can be a force for bad. However, the one thing that I will say is that without a doubt, absolutely 100%, write it down in ink. The fracturing of controlled media, the fracturing of gatekeepers, the ability for us to diffuse our interests, our expressions, and our hopes and dreams, our interpretations of life into different channels benefits us all. It is a net benefit no matter how bad things become. Because as we got into with that, and then I wound up getting into people with on Twitter throughout the week, if Instagram is terrible for a young teenage girl, and she feels bad about it, she feels bad about herself because of how people interact with her on that platform, there are other platforms. There is DeviantArt. There is Snapchat. There is Facebook. There are sites like this one right here. DiamondClub.tv, this chat room, for which has become a meeting point for so many people. People who have fallen in love. People who have gotten married. Now, is the existence of options enough to take away from the negative that can happen? Absolutely. Because it's not like these negative things weren't happening before. I will ride and die with our ability to connect with each other on more and varied platforms. Always. That will always be a thing that I love. However, when you love somebody, you're allowed to be critical of them. And I love social media. And I love Twitter. I think, again, Twitter, all the nasty crap that is involved in it, a net positive. 150% a net positive. But here is something that drives me up a wall. This is tough love to Twitter. This is tough love to people that I love personally. Let's bring it back to San Bernardino. This thing happens. Mass shootings are a hot topic of conversation this year, which is odd because the violent crime rate in America has never been lower. But I think that's a good thing. We are exposed to these things more because the ability to cover them and the speed in which they get to us is so fast and so cheap that we are able to understand these stories on a level that we didn't before. When we look at these horrifying tragedies, we have many different reactions. One, which I think is very natural, is anger. Why did this have to happen? Let's solve the problem. For many people, including the New York Times editorial board, who for the first time in a billion years published a front page editorial, which, okay, really quick sidebar. When the New York Times publishes a front page editorial, there's something that you need to understand. The editorial board is not the same as the people who write the paper. The people who write the paper are journalists and editors. There is then a separate section of people whose only job is to pontificate. They're called the editorial board, and very often they are not looked at very fondly by everybody else in the newsroom. So when the New York Times posts a front page editorial, I don't know if everybody in the New York Times was necessarily thrilled about that, nor do I think that people who are reporting necessarily want a big, gigantic opinion on the front page when they have to go and talk to sources who very often now will find bias in the paper because they took a hard opinion on the front page. End of sidebar. Journalism nerd sidebar. San Bernardino shooting happens. I got all of my liberal friends screaming, gun control, gun control, gun control, gun control, gun control, gun control, gun control. And all the accoutrement that comes around it. This is how many shootings have been. This is how many guns are on the streets. This is how Australia solves the problem. This is how yada, yada, yada. This is this Jim Jeffries fucking stand-up. This is a bunch of everything that happens when there's a mass shooting and there's gun control. People who are yelling and screaming about gun control. Which, awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Again, I don't fault the passion. I don't fault the empathy. I love the passion. I love the empathy. But then the story takes a turn. Then the story takes a turn. Because now we learn very quickly after this thing starts that this person, the male of the two that shot everybody up, is a Muslim. Or at the very least, has a Muslim name. So now, all the conservative people that I follow, terrorism, 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 terrorism. And again, I don't fault the passion. I don't fault the empathy. I don't fault the fact that you look at this and you say, let's solve the problem. And that comes along with all the accoutrement of the terrorism argument. Oh, we need to explore the roots of it. Oh, we need to not be so PC when we talk about it. Everything that comes around, somebody pointing out a terrorist attack. Now, here's the problem. And here's where I will give tough love to Twitter and everybody that I follow on it. When this happens, and one side screams gun control, and one side screams terrorism, you make them diametric opposites in a way that I don't believe they are. I think that a very nuanced and specific point of view would be that we should examine our laws on gun control, and if this person had ties to ISIS, then it was an act of terrorism. In fact, I think even a lot of people that I know that support gun control would like for more things to be called act of terrorism as opposed to less. Because they would like for other people, not just Muslims, who shoot up people with an ideology behind them, to be also labeled as terrorists. When we reduce these very, very, very difficult, awful, hard, complex issues into a binary argument, then effectively it all just boils down to this.
Duck season. Wabbit season. Duck season. Wabbit season. Duck season. Wabbit season. Wabbit season. Duck season.
And we can't have something as serious as you know, either, you know, organized terrorism as our ability to keep ourselves safe and the role that our law and government should play in that reduced to just gifts and memes like. There's a million things that we can trivialize. And again, I love and I want everybody to be engaged in this. I think that the amount of empathy that we have now, the understanding that we have now of lives lost in this country is the best thing that social media could ever give us. The best thing that media in general could ever give us. The idea of seeing what the toll of violence is makes us better people. It doesn't allow us to put our heads in the sand. Now, I'm not saying that that should always come with a very specific solution, because my personal thoughts on these are far more nuanced than I think a lot of people would say. I don't think that we need to say, and this is why we need blank. This is not me saying that. I'm just saying that there is always a better perspective to be had when you look at things unvarnished, as opposed to relying, again, on gatekeepers to tell you what is happening and what isn't. The fact that we know about more of you know, we see, we have faces and names quicker for mass shootings, for incidents with police, however you want to draw the opinions of them. However you want to solve the problem, a knowledge that these things are happening is excellent. It is better for everybody. The one thing that I would say, though, is just don't be a person who falls into a binary argument, because it hurts your position and it certainly does not help you gather people to your cause. We've got so many more non-serious topics coming up right after this. Oh, man. You know, it just you never know. You know, I don't know. Whenever I bring up this kind of stuff, I pride myself that I want to go there. I always want to go there because I do think that we have more in common than we have apart. And this has been the point of this show, you know, is that let's bring everybody together. Let's everybody understand. So I know there's a lot of people that, you know, like, yeah, gun control, woo, gun control, gun control. And then there's a lot of people that are like, no, you know, maybe you should stop being so PC. Like, I understand there are battle lines drawn. I understand there's some people out here in this audience that got one of the opposing team's jerseys on. All I'm saying is that here, it's a safe space where we can all rally around my neuroses and my narcissistic complex, for which has brought me to doing a one mic show where in the majority of the time I talk about myself. This is one of those times. So let's all, can we please stop talking about gun control and terrorism and focus on what's really important? Me, baby. Two letters, one gerbs. M-E. I got a little gift for you guys. We're going to go a little infomercial. Holy crap. Y'all see this? That right there, if you are watching on YouTube, is a box of The Contender. The Contender, again, like I plugged up top, it's a card game that I came up with John Teasdale and the folks at Guts and Glory. Here, we're going to give you all a little look here. That's the top of the box right there. You open it up. We have a welcome to the presidential arena written on the side. Rules here. Man, okay, so here's what happens. This week we're told, okay, we're sending the manufacturer is going to send a bunch of decks to the fulfillment centers in Amazon's fulfillment centers. They're going to send a bunch to us. The ones that are coming to us are because we got to sign a bunch and send them to people who pledge at the 150 level where they got signed boxes and all sorts of other fun stuff. But it was also the first time that I got a chance to see this. And it is like, it might quite possibly be the closest thing that I will ever get to like seeing a newborn baby from my own loins. It was amazing. In that one moment, I just looked over and I looked down at this box and I was just like, I made you. You came from my brain. It was exceptional because you work so hard. And you know, we with The Contender, you know, we're in this very, very weird spot. And there's been some consternation amongst our team where, you know, we're selling well on our site, thecontender.us, but we're not doing gangbusters. It's not like we're selling, you know, 500 decks an hour or anything like that. We're doing well. We're doing pretty good. It's like we got to sell a lot, you know, because we're still technically in debt for our production process. But, you know, there's been a little hand wringing, like, ah, man, I don't know. Should we be selling more? Should we be selling, you know, is this good? Is this bad? We're just trying to figure out what the numbers mean. And I told one of the other people that I'm working with, I'm like, listen, for all anybody else knows that's putting that is out there in the world, we are running the longest con. Because as far as anything that we've produced, we have given them nothing. Like there is no physical thing for us. You know, there's no widget. There's no element that they can say, okay, they're not just stealing our money. And on just that idea, with the fact that this could be a total fraud, everybody and many people right here in this chat room, you know, supported us on Kickstarter to the tune of $142,000 plus, and have bought well over I think a couple hundred on our website and pre-ordered it. But I said everything's going to change once we get the decks, once we get the box, once the box gets in everybody else's hands. Because at that point, the rubber will truly meet the road. Because I'm not going to lie here, people. I'm not going to tell you that as I get into these, into this card game world, the deeper I get into it, oh man, the better I feel about this game, The Contender. Because anybody who has played it will tell you that this is not a direct ripoff of another card game. And the more that I get into this realm of card games, the more that I realize the vast majority of the games that everybody loves are absolute ripoffs of other games. Man, there ain't a gosh darn new game mechanic to be found with half these games. Yes, that's the one I'm talking about. Yes, that one too. I'm not even looking at the chat room. I'm looking at you. I'm looking at the audience. The one that you're thinking of, yeah, no, ripoff. Ripoff. Well written, ripoff of another game. I am so proud about the mechanic that we came up with. I am so proud. Because initially, I thought it was too close to Cards Against Humanity. I was like, man, I mean, and that's easily, I think, the best descriptor for the game. For somebody, if you just want to give them one sentence and give them a general idea of what the game is, then Cards Against Humanity meets politics is fine, right? But we could have just ripped off Cards Against Humanity's mechanic, which they ripped off from Apples to Apples. We could have just done that. But we didn't. We came up with something that we are super, super, super proud of. And to celebrate it, I'm going to do a thing starting next week that once we get this thing up on Amazon, man, we're going to come up with some great ways to give stuff away. Because here's something that's absolutely true. We had the politically incorrect decks available during the Kickstarter. Everything else is safe for the kids, except for the politically incorrect decks. And that gives you cards that you can play as part of your arguments, like AIDS is nature's retribution for whatever the topic that you have here. So let's say it would be AIDS is nature's retribution for women. See, that's pretty good. It's a pretty good one. We have this one. Pimping ain't easy, nor should it be. Right? And then, of course, my favorite that I tried to show at the beginning of the show, because I'm so happy about it, is a John McCain quote. Here's the real quote. We allowed Hitler to come to power with that kind of attitude of isolationism and appeasement. And so we just shortened it to what he really meant, which is great idea, Hitler. Now, we're never going to sell these, the politically incorrect deck. We are never going to sell them. If you got them in the Kickstarter, it's the only time you're going to be able to pay money to get them. But we are going to give them away. So stay tuned to this very show. We are going to give away the unbuyable politically incorrect decks if you did not get a chance to get one during the Kickstarter. More details on that next week. Let's go ahead and take one more little wine sip break. We will be right back with the most embarrassing segment I might ever do on this show. Oh man, this is we are going to finish strong with this show. We are back loaded because we got some amazing emails this week. But let's go ahead and start with this. I got an email right before the show. It was from Lovely Metalhead. Lovely Metalhead to the chat room right now. I think I might have mentioned her before. I know her from when I used to host a Chris Angel podcast, a Chris Angel fan podcast with the iTrick Suite of a magician podcast. We did one for Chris Angel, David Blaine, Penn and Teller, David Copperfield. By far the most popular was the Chris Angel one. Had some very, very, very dedicated fans that would email in every single week. Lovely Metalhead was one of them. But now she listens to these shows. So understand this. Lovely Metalhead has the beat on all of you guys. If you ever listen to me and you're like, oh man, Jury's great. Lovely Metalhead listened to Jury before, A, Jury was Jury, and when Jury sucked. So Lovely Metalhead really put in the time and effort. Let's go ahead and take a listen. She sent in this clip. It is 2 minutes and 53 seconds of me doing a Chris Angel fan podcast. And actually, you want to know what? I'm going to do something. Ashley? You gonna stay in the kitchen? Just point the stove cam toward your head. I'm just gonna throw to your reaction because I actually have your camera. Yeah. Hold on. Let me just edit this shot real quick. Yeah, let's go. We're gonna go live to the kitchen. So there we go. That's my wife. My wife. Ashley, you have never heard, I'll turn on the kitchen mic. Ashley, you have never heard my work on the Chris Angel podcast, right?
No, I haven't.
You have not?
Nope.
All right.
I feel like I need wine for this, though.
You should go ahead and get wine. So apparently there's different clips from different episodes. It is all me acting like an asshole. So let's go and take a listen. It has a little intro from Lovely Metalhead. This is my work on the a sampling of my work on the Chris Angel podcast.
Dear Justin Robert Young, this is Lovely Metalhead, and I have two words for you. Remember this.
Just go ahead and hit my music.
And now, feedback from our listeners.
Feedback from our listeners is culled and spun from real emails that come in to us throughout the week. If you would like... I was smoking a lot of cigars.
First, like, what fucking sound clip was that? It sounded like a bunch of children.
A bunch of children were like, the ones who listened to the show.
But, like, it's like Barney and Friends.
I mean, it was a lot of teenage girls. Who else is listening to a podcast about Chris Angel but a lot of teenage girls?
Whatever. Keep going.
So they sent that in. That was a fan thing.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
All right, that's
let's
fine.
Let's continue.
Yep, keep going.
Well, how would you describe my voice?
I'd like to be a part of this segment next week. Wait until the end of it so we can give you the email and you can send something in.
You sound very nasally.
I do sound nasally, right?
Yeah. It's gross.
All right. Well, here we go. Let's go back.
Here's one from Loyal Caitlin. Dear Justin, I listen to your broadcast all the time, and I love that you read email, so I was just wondering if you could read mine. Hi, I love Chris, and I wish him the best. I'm going to see Believe this summer, and I can't wait. I've always wanted to see Chris in person or meet him, so thanks, and Happy New Year to you, Justin, and the Loyals. P.S. Happy New Year to Chris and to Justin, And please tell A&E to put Mind Freak back on. Love, Loyal Caitlin. All right, hold on.
That's it?
Hold on.
A&E! Yeah. Put Mind Freak back on, Loyal Caitlin said.
Okay.
All right, done.
Wait, is that Andrew? Whose voice is that? Is that yours?
That's me. That's really? Me. No, all of that was done with me in a tiny warehouse in Margate, Florida, with no air conditioning, where I would just record this thing by myself.
Okay.
This is going to end with me just getting... She's just going to leave me. I don't know why. God, why did I want to break... This is... All right, here we go.
It's no secret that we love songs that mention me in it. And this is no different. I really just want to say, like, listen, I've been doing this for a little bit now. And when...
What is happening with... Do I sound raspy or do I always
sound
just sound
like
that?
You sound like an old man.
I do sound terrible.
You sound like... You do sound like you're smoking a pack a day. Oh, you know... Nobody's gonna know this, but, like, your cadence and the way that, like, in that last couple of sentences, you sounded a lot like Ron to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've got... Ron is my stepfather. All right.
But not with the accent, but I don't know.
Still it works as Jerry's voice is aging backwards. I have the Benjamin Button of voices, apparently. Here we go.
Ever anybody takes the time to do something creative that references the podcast, it always brings a smile to my face, and I really do appreciate it. So without further ado, lovely loyal metalhead comes through again, this time rapping.
By the way, the person who sent this in, I'm just going to go ahead and just point this out, because the one who sent this in is lovely metalhead.
Yeah.
She was lovely loyal metalhead back then, because all of Criss Angel's fans are the loyals. So you'll understand, like, when I say loyal Caitlin, lovely loyal metalhead, that's why they were all called loyals, because that's how you identified yourself as a Criss Angel fan.
Yeah.
So apparently lovely loyal metalhead, you coward! You coward, lovely metalhead! You took out the you rapping! Now I am the only one flailing in the breeze. I'm sorry I called you a coward. I'm just lashing out. Here we go.
Hit it!
Lovely loyal metalhead, sing the chorus, man.
Now listen, that's not the end. She goes the entire verse, and it really is awesome. You know, lovely loyal metalhead, you're the best. What can I say? Everybody listening, please go and find Lovely Loyal Metalhead Raps ? On YouTube and watch it. She rules. What can I say? I understand that that is a hard reality to face, but I'm here for you, Justin Robert Young. Because I feel bad, and because you guys deserve some live September entertainment, I'm going to bring it to you, ladies.
I sound way, like I have way more of a New York accent.
You do. You do. I do think you, well, maybe that's the Ron thing that I'm catching.
I've never in my life had a New York accent at all. There's never been a point at which I've had a New York accent, but for whatever reason, apparently I had one then.
Were you doing it like, you know how back in old-timey radio, you used to have like the transatlantic radio speech?
I was doing my classically trained how to do a magician fan podcast voice, yes.
That's what I thought, right? I don't know.
All right, there's a little bit more here. There's 37 more seconds.
I feel okay. This is...
Ladies and gentlemen, the Criss Angel Watch Podcast Dance. Let me climb up over here and music. Start it slow. Heel toe. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, big hands. Sidestep. High knees.
I need the shame belt.
Of course, if you'd like to hear your questions or comments on this podcast, email show@itricks.com.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Ashley, what would you, what's going through your head?
Wow. Well, the end, like... I'm sitting here as I'm hearing, like, the tap and dancing part and thinking to myself that, like, okay, like, I'm actually really used to being embarrassed by Justin, but, like, that just felt shameful. Like, it wasn't even something that's like, wow, that's, at least there are people laughing in the audience. It was just like, oh my god, this is horrible.
I mean, it's, number one, the funniest part about it is that it's not all that different from this show. Like that part of the podcast, the listener back and forth, is effectively a proto, I never realized this, it's effectively a proto version of what we do on the Jury Show. I didn't realize, well, I was just rebuilding the Criss Angel Watch podcast, except, you know, focused on me this time.
Well, I think the difference is now, like sure, this is a you-based podcast, but you're not obsessing around just one thing. And also, you know, you gotta fail to win, I guess, or what's the...
You gotta fail to win?
Well, that's not what I'm trying to say, but you have to suck before you can get better, right?
Oh, all right. So, yeah, no. I'm not trying to all right. I'm not trying to get, you know, I want to revel in it. I like to revel in my own, and in my own process,
no,
right?
No, it is pretty raw.
It's ridiculous. It is. I can't believe just this, the sound of my, the sound of my voice is just what absolutely kills me.
Dear,
something creative that references the podcast. It always,
it always
brings a smile to my face. I really do appreciate.
You know, that's a, if I would have met that Justin Robert Young at Dragon Con, I don't know that the results would have been the same.
Jokes on you, woman, because that Justin Young was not far off. In fact, that might have been only about a year away from that.
Well, God bless that year.
I did a lot of growing. All right, everybody, at Healthy Addict, that is my wife.
And Fake Gamer Girl.
Fake Gamer Girl on Twitch. Anyway, now for something completely different, we'll be right back with your emails coming up after this on the Criss Angel Watch podcast. You can email the Criss Angel Watch Podcast at justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Make sure you put jury in the subject line. Phil writes, this is the Hardee's and Carl's Jr. Correlation that we are looking to prove. We are on a nationwide hunt to find out whether or not Hardee's are all shit shows and Carl's Jr. are actually nice and normal. We're trying to find this out. Send in your experience on this right here. Phil writes in, Hardee's are definitely shit shows in Tampa, but sometimes you just need to drive out to the fairgrounds to get a monster burger. There are always chickens running around the parking lot. I assume the eggs are fresh, but I'd never get down there during breakfast. I've never been to a Carl's Jr., but I can't compare. Speaking of shit show, is this a Florida thing? I only know two people who use that term casually. You and my wife, who is local. I grew up in Texas and never heard it before. But is shit show not a thing?
I say it in Ohio.
Like, yeah, no, I think shit show's a thing. I think everybody knows shit show. All right, we have an amazing email from Anonymous Diamond. For the past few months, a bartender has been an absolute angel. I pretty much cut liquor from my life for the most part because I can't handle it. But after certain circumstances, things like my grandma calling me to say goodbye forever, mixed drinks seem appropriate. He took care of me
when I drank enough to get sick at their establishment and made sure that I got home safely. On top of that, he's the type that you can tell is 100% sincere and honest in everything he says, and underneath all the brutal honesty is a total sweetheart. I actually started to like the guy, which is something that never happens to me, or something that happens to me approximately never. I come to find out that at the beginning of the year, he will be switching locations. Without the fear of ruining my bar, you know, don't shit where you eat, I decided to take it upon myself to see if we can hang out, which is where a few problems should be pointed out. There's a bit of an age difference, which doesn't actually bother me. Quote, too old for me is actually my kind of type. And he explains that he's sure we can make the hangouts happen, but most of his life is busy taking care of his 9-year-old daughter. Most people who know me know that there's not many things that I would rather avoid than children. But for somebody like him, and the child's already half grown up, I think it'd be worth hanging out to see if this is something I can get over. He reveals he also has a son who is my age. Now, none of this bothers me. So he comes over one night, we smoke hookah, talk for hours before having mind-blowing sex. Afterwards, we are talking and he makes a passive comment about living with his parents. There's one thing that has always been a big no-go for me. He's 42 years old. In our talks, he's already made mention of his own place and living on his own, so it's not because he can't support himself or is lazy and unambitious. It turns out that his baby mama was incarcerated on charges of trying to murder their daughter. Thus, for the past 2 years, he's staying with his parents so they can watch his daughter while he works. Is that a valid reason? I don't know. But the best part, apparently, is that she didn't actually attempt murder. Okay. I don't know the real story, but it involves a breakdown while trying to get her PhD in psychology, ironically. But anyways, she was released this week. Burp. It clearly sounds like I was walking into a lot of drama and I should just walk in the other direction. But I'm not going to quit having sex with him. Okay. Is there any other way for me to avoid the shitstorm that could potentially engulf me? Oh, man. All right. I got another gigantic theory that everybody who works in mental health is actually crazy. I'll get to that another day. You should probably keep your distance. So, all right, let's just understand this. You only got two options. One or the other. A, B, polar opposites. You choose. You can either run like hell or you can bear down and try to deal with it. That's it. Any decision that is available to you are one or a variation of one of those two. If you are dead set on refusing to stop having sex with him, then you're going to just have to deal with the shitstorm. Because whether or not the baby mama understands the nuances of your particular arrangement with this gentleman, let's say that everybody in that A and B scenario, you and the bartender, understands that this is just a good fuck time and you don't necessarily want to be a surrogate mother. The person who was arrested for attempted murder might not see it like that and might see you as a threat if you are in any way involved with that dude's life. Spoiler alert, even if you are only partially involved in his life and then completely run away, she will probably believe that you are still involved no matter what you do. So, run like hell or gird for the worst. You only got two options. Choose wisely. California Carl wrote a really awesome thing about immigration, but I'm not going to read that part of the email, and instead I'm just going to read this. About the guy who fucked his wife's supposedly gay sister, who was then being blackmailed by his nephew, I think they should do this. Grab the teen, confiscate his phone, have a quickie in front of him, then return his phone while saying, "No one will ever believe you." Derek writes in, "You enjoy wrestling? And you enjoy pornography. Wouldn't it be great if somebody were to somehow mash those two together?" Well, someone has. The name of the podcast is called WrestleRotica. The description: this site is the official website for perhaps the internet's only wrestling and erotica podcast. It can be found at WrestleRotica, with the E at the end of Wrestle and the E at the beginning of Erotica shared. You might wonder what it sounds like, so I have done your job for you. This is from the Halloween episode, episode 33. It is a story entitled Ms. Dad's Halloween Party. In this story, the Miz's father throws his annual Halloween bash, and many WWE superstars and divas are in attendance. The Miz dad doesn't know, but he's about to have a very special encounter with three divas, including Naomi, Asuka, and Bayley. No, not Bayley. I play for you now a clip.
And stated, "Damn, dude, look at your dad teared up. He's a dancing fool." The Miz cracked up and replied back, "Yeah, he's pretty good. I've taught him a thing or two. Though, I don't know if you should be comparing him to the dancing fool. There's some people who would take offense to that." Heath laughed. "Who are you talking about? Did you somehow manage to get Das Wonder Kid to show up? You know, Alex Wright?" "Well, not exactly, Heath. But, do you see the person over there who is dressed as Wario?" "Yes, Wario. That's Coach Smiley over there." The Miz continued, "You have to be shitting me. Of all the costumes, I would have never pictured that Coach Smiley would have dressed up as Wario. I can't believe that Coach Smiley knows anything about video games."
The entire podcast is an erotic fan fiction read by this gentleman, with audio clips from popular television shows and songs played in the midst of it. So whenever he mentions something odd, he plays a sound effect over top of it. Oh, man. Do I go further into this? Do I dare go further into what is surely going to be a description of the Miz's father having sex with Asuka, Naomi, and Bayley? Oh, I dare.
Threw a beer bong. The Miz had remarked to himself that he liked the way Chris Jericho partied. If anybody could challenge his partying lifestyle, it was probably...
No sex, hold on.
He continued. "True. That's the thing I'll never get with you wrestlers. You guys always have to worry about politics and protecting your position. It's super competitive."
No sex.
"Kind of aggressiveness in her." Sure, he had seen how aggressive she could be in the ring, especially in her recent matches with Sasha. But out of the ring, he had never seen the side of Bayley. Her kisses got deeper and rougher and sloppier. And his dick, it continued to get harder and harder.
Let's go further.
"Be a champion dick rider." But he wasn't confined.
Oh, God,
fact,
no, no.
Moans and groans of pleasure. He had already had two ladies tonight, and yet he couldn't help but to feel that this gorgeous brunette was outperforming those two. Perhaps it was the pot influencing how great the sex felt, or maybe the...
Okay, all right. Well, there we go. You can get it. WrestleRotica if you want more of it. It is the world's only... wrestling and erotica podcast. I don't think that I will ever get that out of my brain. All right. We have our popularity, most popular segment as it is coming. Let's go ahead and get the theme song.
First we're gonna rock, then we're gonna roll, then we let it pop, don't let it go. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. First we're gonna rock.
X gon' give it to you is where you can tell us your hilarious, tragic, and ridiculous stories of your ex boyfriend, girlfriend, lover. Pally writes in, as a young 20-year-old man in the year 2008 who had recently come to terms with being gayer than a wicker basket of lace dollies bought on sale at Pier 1. Why is it on sale? Do gay people buy things on sale? I don't know. I was more than willing to try and get into the dating game. However, I was cursed with an underdeveloped gaydar and struck out on the regular. After stagnating in the local community college dating scene, I got word that an old friend, Ben, that I knew online was going to be coming through the area. Not only that, he was a decent friend and turned out to also be gayer than the aforementioned wicker basket. We hung out for a while and decided to give things a try while he quote-unquote decided to stay in the area. Notice the quotations around decided. As it turned out, Ben was homeless and a bit of a nomad, traveling around the country for less than romantic reasons. The long and short of it was that he was a bundle of temperamental craziness wrapped in an arrest warrant. He had a hairpin trigger and severe childhood dramas out the wazoo and trust issues from here to Tampa. Oh, did I mention he was also a pedophile? No, you didn't, buddy. Yeah, Ben admitted to me that the reason he had a warrant was because he was caught looking at CP. He tried to tell me it was strictly out of curiosity and not anything sexual, which I naively believed back in the day. It wasn't until much later that I thought about his flimsy excuse, his habitual habit of trying to rationalize his every action into making himself a victim, and his long-standing fascination with writing gay South Park and Harry Potter slash fic that my brain connected the dots. Now that is certainly indicative of somebody who may or may not be a pedophile, unlike the people who write wrestling slash fic, which is totally rad. Now, normally, I return to the email. This is where I'd say, despite all of this, I still feel for him, and I want him back. Fuck that noise. Ben not only caused a gigantic rift between me, my parents, and my friends, he nearly ruined my rental history after I co-signed on an apartment for him, which he then bailed on. Plus the whole associating with a wanted pedophile thing. Looking back on it, the reason why I so blindly devoted to this guy was because as a chubby, socially awkward nerd who also happened to be gay, I was eager to fall for the first guy who showed me attention. Big mistake, considering the bundle of fuck I now realize Ben is. The last time I heard, Ben had found God and began filling his timeline with religious homo bashing, which is when I fully blocked him on Facebook and from my life. Keep up the great show, Diamond for Life, Pally. Well, as long as Ben found God, you should probably alert God that he shouldn't co-sign for an apartment with him. We end this week's episode with Nostril. I noticed in an Amazon listing for your book, Secretly Gay President Thwarts Zombie Invasion with the Help of a Wizard and His Barely Legal Smoking Hot Daughter Whose Titty Falls Out at One Point, that there seems to be one too many asterisks covering the innermost letters of titty. However, if this is fact on purpose, what is the extra censored letter? Well, I can now reveal to you all for the first time that the extra censored letter in the Amazon version of Secretly Gay President Thwarts Zombie Invasion with the Help of a Wizard and His Barely Legal Smoking Hot Daughter Whose Titty Falls Out at One Point is in fact an emoji of titties. If you would like to find this podcast, you can do it on Stitcher, iTunes, or some other shit. Email me, JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com. Put Jerry in the subject line. Twitter and Instagram is Justin R. Young. Buy the contender. It will get sent to you either this week or next week as soon as it gets to the facilities. I am so excited. TheContender.us. And, of course, join the conversation at DiamondClub.reddit.com. Big thank you to everybody who watches on DiamondClub.tv. Big shout out to Alpha Geek Radio, who helps broadcast the show. If you find yourself dating a possible pedophile, if you find yourself with a troubled history of Chris Angel podcast, if you find yourself yelling about rabbit season, duck season on Twitter, then I am here, Justin Robert Young, to remind you, please don't die!
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.